All right, let's all go around and whatever, introduce
Brent Forrester, writer. And this
week we're coming. John Apatow, writer.
Whoa.
We have to have, this is utter chaos.
Clockwise. Okay.
Brent Forrester, writer.
John O'Donohue, actor.
Ben Stiller, actor, writer.
Janine Garofalo, actor.
Rob Cohen, writer.
Andy Dick, actor.
Judd Apatow, writer.
Okay, Hi, Andy, how are you?
Listen to Bob. What's he saying?
He said, Trainee McGee and the Caboosenecks is what he said. He's making up improv troupe names that are related to trains.
Once again,
I remember being here, Ben.
At Train Town.
I do. Oh, that was near the
Griffith Park.
So there are things you remember.
There are things he does remember from the early 90s.
I think
that's
so.
That's actually why we're all here, to jog Andy's memory.
Oh, this is great.
There's Casey Kasem and his beautiful daughter. Yeah.
That's right. And how did we get him to do this? We asked him, I guess. And
This is a sketch that was based on Ben telling stories about the people who would annoy his parents on the street.
Stiller and Mira.
We used to go to this neighborhood restaurant on the Upper West Side called Teachers that doesn't exist anymore, and people would just always come over to the table because they loved my parents and they wanted to tell them how much they loved them, and they were very accessible people. And this was what happened a lot, where they would just kind of keep it going and take it a little too far.
But this character was actually really popular. We did a bunch of Hervé Villechaize and...
Oh, God. Yeah, God rest his soul.
How's that watermelon, Andy?
I wish you could.
It smells great.
Can we dig a pizza right now?
Now, do you mind if we finish our meal?
No. Do me a favor. Come over and say hello to my wife, huh?
No, look, my daughter and I are in a rush.
Come on, do it. Seriously, do it. Come on, come over. You know what would be great? Get dressed up in the waiter outfit, come over, pour some water in a glass. Would blow her away.
No, I can't do that.
No, come on, do it.
I'd love to do it.
No, seriously, do it. Do it.
I don't know if I'd only had the roughie.
Ifs and buts were candy and nuts.
So, Janine, what was your inspiration for this character?
I have no idea. I just,
Well, you really channeled.
I really channeled something.
Yeah, you channeled this is a number of my relatives.
But as usual, can I point out that on that day I ate all the prop food. Like, I would always eat through, there would never be enough prop food because I kept eating it all.
You would just eat it.
I would keep eating it and the takes, and then they would run out.
Andy, do you remember how you got hooked up with the show? How it all happened?
I was in that short film of yours.
Elvis stories. That's how we met.
Then you remembered, and then I think you came to see me and Bob perform at Upfront. At the Upfront.
There's a theater in Santa Monica. You were doing a one man show.
Yeah.
What were you doing at that time in your career?
Nothing. I mean that kind of thing. I was auditioning. No, I mean, I had nothing going on. This was,
what were your, just give people an idea of what Andy Dick was doing. I mean, if they don't want to tune into the true Hollywood story.
Yeah. If you want the abridged version.
What were you doing with your career at that point?
I was doing a lot of live performing.
You'd moved out from Chicago.
Yeah, moved out from Chicago. And you also came to see me do something live with John O'Donohue. Do you remember playing my father at the Big and Tall bookstore?
No.
You don't remember?
No.
You were my father, and you came.
Is he making that up?
No, I know he did it. I remember something about it, but that was after.
It was a coffee house.
That was after the show, though.
The show started. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
So you were auditioning for things, Andy? You were trying to get work?
Yeah, but I wasn't getting a lot of work.
And so how did you decide to do a one-man show? Because you did improv in Chicago.
Yep.
Help me out here. You did Second City.
I was in the Second City. I did. No, I wasn't. I just
like pulling teeth.
I trained at Second City in Chicago, but out here in L.A., I was doing the touring company. So I was in the touring company.
Right. And what happened? Did we call? Judd, what happened?
I don't remember.
Well, the weird part about this show and the casting process was we didn't do any casting at all. We didn't go look for people. No one came in and read for any of these parts. We just saw Bob and Andy do the show.
Look at Bob the robot!
This is a catch, really.
And we thought Janine was funny, and we said, well, let's just hire those three. And that was the extent of our search.
Say that again?
We didn't do any casting. We just said, right, who's the three funniest people we know? Oh, it's Bob, Andy, and Janine. And that was it.
My friend remembers him and I, my friend who's in my band, Andrew. He says we were walking down the street and you drove by in an SUV, rolled the window down and said, I'm doing a show and this time I want you to be on it. And then we had a meeting at like HBO.
Yeah.
In a building.
You know, I don't know if it happened exactly like that, but it basically was, we came to them and said, these are the people we want to be on the show, and they said, okay.
Wow.
Janine, you were doing stand-up.
I was just a stand-up comic at that point. I'm surprised they signed up on that.
How long had you been doing stand-up in L.A.?
Not very long. I started doing stand-up in 1985. I didn't move to L.A. until 90 or 91. Because we did this around 91, 92.
Janine, look, I've got a fake chin. Look.
I know you've
remember?
Got a fake chin.
I had a fake chin. I loved it.
I have a fake. You know, oddly enough, I have a fake chin now. Isn't that weird?
That's weird.
So you'd been doing stand-up for...
I've been doing stand-up.
And we met... I mean, I remember seeing you at the Improv, doing your thing at the Improv. And
right, and we met at Cantor's. And we just sort of... You know, actually, me, you, and Dana Gould had had conversations about doing stuff together, maybe doing sketch stuff early on, and then you got this deal to do the show, and...
Right, and then we just gathered up these people. I still don't understand how they just let us kind of...
I know, that's surprising.
...dictate to them what we wanted
to do. It had to do with the fact that it was supposed to be on HBO, and in the transition to it being sold to air on Fox, there was so much confusion that we were able to slip a lot of this by. And about that 90210 sketch, there were so many shows, like The Heights, being developed then. And I remember we did one sketch like that, and then we wrote another, and within Fox there was a huge battle because they didn't want us to make fun of their shows. HBO had to tell them, if you don't let them make fun of that show, then we're not going to do the Ben Stiller show. And they really stood up for us, and then we were canceled 8 weeks later.
They also we were saying this before, they also had The Edge, that other sketch show, which was their baby.
Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah. Oh, Jennifer Aniston was on that.
And that was getting all their attention.
That's right, downtown Julie Brown.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That was their big gun.
Yeah. That is right, yeah.
That's right.
There'll be people visiting us, too.
Why don't we watch this now, okay?
Oh, finally, Forrester has a sketch here. Yeah, and here's John O'Donohue.
Teacher.
John, do you want to give a little sort of encapsulated history of how we came to meet each other?
Oh, sure. It was when you directed Colin Quinn's special on MTV.
Right. Right.
And I went there. It was no pay, by the way.
Well, it was an MTV special for Colin because he was on the
Back
remote
to
control.
Brooklyn.
Right.
Back to Brooklyn, yeah.
And it was the first thing that anybody ever let me direct. And
right. You did a wonderful job, too.
Well, thank you very much. We had a good time.
We did have a good time.
It was such a, like a... Sort of, again, one of those things for no money. And
right.
You had been acting for how long?
At that time, I guess about 8 years, but just with theater. I was still a cop at the time.
How long were you a cop?
20 years.
New York's finest.
American hero.
But interestingly enough, then you got your own show on MTV.
This character.
And you made fun of all the Fox shows. You remember that?
This character is based, by the way, on real people who used to visit our school when I was a kid, public school.
Did they wear a shirt with a
t-shirt? They did not wear this. No, they were actually usually cops. By the way, the whole joke is that Ben is an ex-drug user who begins to hallucinate about the very normal pictures on the easel. But the prop guy actually drew the hallucinated version on the easel, ruining the sketch, in my opinion. So I'm not bitter.
Well, thank God we're here today to clear it up.
I have his number. You should call him.
Check out. He actually has a... why would the drug guy bring a picture of, like, the devil? You'll see that.
No, perhaps you're supposed to intuit that that's what he's seeing. You're seeing it through his eyes, rather than what is actually on the easel.
Well, that's nice of you to say. And you'll see that little character touch where one collar is sticking out and one collar is in. That was intentional.
An actor makes a choice.
Yes, yes.
And one sleeve is rolled up on the other.
Making a whole lot of choices about that day.
Taking you into the vacuum of... Journal lab.
So, John, so you were, you decided you wanted to be an actor after you retired from the police force?
No, I wanted to start to be an actor in my 10th year on the job. I went to acting school, and then I just did plays. I worked steady midnight so I could have my days and nights free.
Really?
Yeah.
Was there a lot of support on the force for your acting?
In the
locker room and whatnot?
Not really.
Well, John, you were also, weren't you in a company with a very young future superstar at the time?
Oh, yeah. I did a play he was involved with it for about 3 years, Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
A play called Bullpen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also Denzel Washington was in that.
Wow.
Giancarlo Esposito also was
in.
Nice.
But you still had time to crack heads.
I played the correction officer and I kicked ass too.
So then we did that Colin Quinn special, and then when we did the MTV show, we did that takeoff on Cops.
Yeah,
that
was great. That was funny.
Me and Harry O'Reilly, yeah. Jeff Kahn.
Yeah.
And then what happened after that? Did you move out to L.A.?
Well, then I did a couple more shows with you. You know, always playing a cop. Remember the U2 thing?
Always, yeah. You played a cop or a sort of a security officer, usually like a...
Some type of authority figure.
Authority figure.
I call it a blue-collar leading man type.
Blue-collar leading man, that's right.
And then I moved out to L.A. after I retired. And fortunately...
Hey, and there's Colin Quinn.
Colin Quinn. There you go. That's timing.
Speak of the devil.
Looking lean and mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's
with his jogging.
We're all looking.
I had been appearing in West Side Story, and I kept my jacket from it. And so there he's got his boxing rap.
Colin could actually box, though, sorry.
Yeah, no. You've been friends with Colin since, did you meet him on the Colin Quinn special?
That's right.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I met him and Harry and you.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what? That reminds me then when we used to give names to Fox of stars we wanted to do these interstitials with, and I would give them a list of people, you know, Kurt Cobain or, you know, just whoever was popular at the time, and they would reject all of them, and then we would be able to get no one, and then we would just give breaks to our friends like Colin Quinn because literally someone had to show up that day.
Yeah, I'm sure Kurt Cobain would have been chomping at the bit.
I remember them saying no to Andy Garcia.
Why would they say no?
Literally, they thought we were just going to get the biggest stars on Earth, and then we would just get our funniest friends.
They said no to Andy Garcia?
They said no, crazy. Literally, to almost everybody.
Well, we ended up getting Sarah Jessica Parker and
Scotty from Star Trek.
Yeah, all of our dorky heroes.
We were extremely fortunate to get whoever we got on the show, considering
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah, that was...
I remember that. Are we going to watch that one?
I don't think so.
Oh.
All right, because I'm Poncherie,
last time on Melrose Heights, 90210-2402.
Pardon me, I need to fuel up.
Spider, did you hear?
What? Are we going to make out again?
So this is my chin.
Look, there's your fake chin. You have the line of demarcation on your chin.
And this was the second...
Bob, what do you think about that? What do you think about playing a leather gay, Bob?
Janine, come on. Give it up. Give it up for me a little bit.
This was the second Melrose Heights sketch we did, right, Jen?
Yeah, that was the second one.
Thanks. Not today.
We're not eating.
People think he's a robot, but it's all about him feeling gay.
Andy, you got it, man. You got it. That's exactly right.
Look at him.
Babies.
Oh, man.
Who's that black guy?
Word.
He literally played the black guy.
He played the black guy.
Oh. Paul Dooley did a couple sketches for us.
Wow.
Oh. From 16 Candles and Breaking Away and a million other things.
You did this and the Grungies, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I ran into Mickey Dolenz.
I'm sorry.
Recently. No. He was in the Grungies, too.
Yes, he was. Yep. Of course, yeah.
Yes.
He was nice. You liked
him?
He's
very nice.
Yeah,
very
I like
nice.
Him. I like him. Why just...
He said I'm sorry because he kicked me under the table, not because of Mickey Dolenz.
Oh. I'm polite. But that's just not true.
I've seen a robot. So, Andy, what was your inspiration for the role of Spider?
Oh, there was some
guy.
Who
were you taking off on? Because I still to this day can't figure out.
I think he's supposed to be like Luke Perry-esque.
I think there was...
I was supposed to be Luke Perry.
Oh, that's right.
I thought I was Luke Perry Jason Priestley slash.
Right.
Well, no, there was some guy that had long
hair.
No,
it's really
nothing
like either of them.
Were you the guy?
Maybe you're supposed to be
heights.
Like Jake from...
The Heights.
He was the guy in the Heights.
Mixed with Jake from Melrose Place.
There was a guy that played the drums or the guitar.
Yeah, he was like a guy who worked in a garage or something.
Yeah.
Aww.
Oh, the gay robots.
Andy!
You're a little late.
That's a great voice. He's got it on.
The best voice, though, he did. The best. My favorite character of his is from Information 411. Oh, yeah. Hello?
I don't know.
Oh, the guy with the beard and no hair.
Yeah, the beard and no hair.
Yeah.
man.
He's the guy looking to get clogs.
Yeah.
And you wrote that sketch.
Did you write that? That's a really funny sketch.
I probably wrote the original, but I'm sure it was many people.
With Adam West.
The final product.
I fell in love with your character, Janine.
You did. Yes. I had a wig, and I looked like a soccer mom, sort of.
Remember her? The Swedish. Look at the Swedish.
We
Swedish
Miss Universe.
The Swedish lady.
Yeah.
Nice.
And that's really me playing. I really played a saxophone. But I can remember I could not get through a take without laughing with the saxophone, and I think that somebody got mad at me. I can't remember who, but I laughed every single time when I was supposed to play the saxophone.
The best part is the dance.
That also made me laugh super hard, the dance part.
Rob, cutting loose.
Hey, you guys.
I remember the debate on how long to let this dance go, and we decided as long as humanly possible.
I know, it just has to go on and on.
Oh, wait, look!
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Nothing to be
And again, the art department making a brochure that looks like the toy.
Colin Quinn again.
But it's like gays. Nothing to be afraid of. So wrong.
I'm noticing you have some nice little beard stubble there.
Ben. Yeah, it's a real kind of that you know.
The Miami. Did you use the Miami device?
I did use the Miami device. I've already put out the disclaimer for all of my look and wardrobe throughout the entire series.
I think you look good.
Thank you, Andy.
What's he doing?
I don't know.
Ah,
here it is. Oh, great.
Here's John's favorite character. Right.
Great sketch.
So I didn't know that until just Janine. Oh, you wrote the
Adam West.
I thought I wrote the.
I thought she wrote it with you.
I'm sure that
with me.
Yeah, but we wrote it together, like in pre-production.
No. Oh, did we?
I don't know if it was that, but I know that I had a joke in my stand-up about Information 411. But we might have been during the Dana Gould era too. I'm not sure.
Right. No, you're right. This was like one of the early ideas that we had.
For a sketch.
When Adam West came, I remember he was shooting this, and he didn't sound like Adam West. He was talking normally, and we had to trick him into sounding like himself. And so I said, you know, do it funny, like that weird way William Shatner talks. And then he started trying to do William Shatner, and he sounded
like
Adam
West. There's one of the writers, Salt and Pepper, right there, that woman.
And didn't Adam West, when he walked over to you, Ben, say, Ben, from the loins of Jerry and Anne, I must go. My helicopter's here.
Is that William Shatner or Adam West?
That's how Adam West was talking. All I know is Fredo Bandito.
All I know is I still have an autographed Batman picture that he gave to me. It said, "Watch my batarang, Ben." There's a batarang in it.
Nice. What does that mean?
I have to say though, that was one of the really fun things about doing the show was getting a chance to work with people who, like that, who you know we grew
and
up
Fred
watching.
Willard. And,
yeah, I would always Fred have to Willard. Take these people out to lunch. All these guests. Stars and I'd be in these weird lunches where it would be like me and Susan Anton and Rip Taylor.
The Hollywood Canteen with those guys, remember?
And Mickey Dolenz.
Yeah.
And
it was pop culture heaven.
Andy, the bad acting in this is really some of your best.
Oh, yeah. It was, I really did trick it up. I tried to be.
That's a great wig. We're going to get to see Bob's, the thing we're talking about with the.
I'm trying. Yeah, I'm just doing my guy who tries to. He's like, I'll do my own recreations. And he's just horrible. Oh, there
she
is.
There
great
she is. That's
your
John. Like, and I have fake boobs in this. I have a fake boob bra on.
I think that's what I fell in love with.
That's what got you. Yeah. I did the standard Todd and Lisa Lubner ripoff voice. So the credit goes to Jane Curtin.
But it's really funny.
Yeah, it is.
I think I do this thing where I look at the camera. Do I look at the camera?
I like when you go, no! And Laura Milligan. I named her Laura Milligan after my roommate at the time, Laura Milligan. Yes. For that's a little FYI for the people out there.
There are 37, sir.
No!
I guess I was freaking out or something.
Milligan, a seasoned operator, knew there wasn't much time. Then she had an idea. The previous Saturday, she'd attended the wedding of her half-brother Steve, who had married a foreign girl.
but I couldn't remember if that little gal was Danish or Dutch. Okay, sir, now just relax. I'm going to put you on hold for 1 second.
Look at those nails. Were those your real nails?
Those are not my real nails.
Most of the staff were monitoring the situation.
There we go.
I like how that woman keeps looking at the camera.
Laura placed a call to her half-brother as precious moments ticked away.
There we go.
Bob is the half brother.
Funny is as funny does.
Or Dutch.
She's Dutch.
Nice prop.
Where she buys her clogs?
A little place called Ikoi Van Joy, I think. Why?
No time to talk. Thanks, doll.
Taking decisive action, Milligan went beyond her normal responsibilities and connected Janik directly to the store.
There
Miss
she is
Universe.
Again, Miss Universe.
God, there she is.
Oh, thank God.
Listen, she forgot to turn the windmill off.
It happened, yeah.
No problem.
Was she actually Dutch? No, she was Swedish.
She was Swedish.
But she actually knew how to, right. That we were saying it wrong.
Right. Laura Milligan,
a director. Adam West does the most brilliant take to the camera at the end of the sketch. Birthday for Ed Janik's
fiance. It's just a good feeling, you know? I mean, that's what we're all about.
It taught me that I have a friend in 411.
Coming up next, a man with just a dime discovers the phone number of a movie theater.
This is the best move right here.
What?
Beautiful from up here, isn't it, Colin? It's really peaceful and nice. I think it's
yes,
great.
Ben, it is.
Oh, this is funny. Colin's poetry.
Is I it know real? The word slattern is going to be in it.
Is it real?
Desert
How do you
slattern.
Remember that?
I just remember the word
That's
desert
so fun,
slattern.
Man.
Oh, because I watch these tapes nightly. Reclaiming my youth.
Yeah,
what is
strange
slattern?
You would know if I... It's like a whore.
A slattern?
A slattern
is
a whore.
Like a slatternly... Right? But also,
isn't
it's
it?
Like a pejorative term, like somebody who's kind of slothful or let themselves go slatternly.
Oh, so it's not a whore?
It's not just... No. It's many...
What do I know?
Unpleasant things. You could do it as Tom what do you know?
I don't know much.
How'd you do on your SATs?
I did better on the English than the math.
Mm-hmm. And how long did you go to college for?
I went for 8.5 months.
Oh. That's why, kids, that's why it's important to
there
stay in
go.
School, because you know what slatternly means.
All right, well, this shows an elegiacal moment here. Forrester 780. Right. SAT. I'm sorry
about that. 780
yeah.
Combined?
No, English. English. Hey, very funny, dummy.
Let me tell you something. That's not too far off of my combined.
Actually, you know what I got on math? 410. That's about as low. You get a 400 for writing your name. I got a 410 on my math SATs.
Never took them.
Remember Jim Jones? What's he doing? Jim Jones.
Oh, yeah. Jim is producing things and writing.
Yeah. All right. Well,
he worked on Mad TV for a while.
Where do we go now? How do we get out of here?
Then I'd love to, but.
No. Seriously, do it. Come on. Do it.
I don't know. We resorted to outtakes. I don't know.
We sure crack ourselves up. We crack
was that
ourselves
wrong? Was that
up.
Wrong to put on outtakes at the end?
Oh, everybody was doing it at
maybe,
that time.
Maybe it was wrong, right?
Three little digits.
I like them.
Bing, bing, bing.
Outtakes make us feel warm inside.
Have a friend in 411.
That's the worst outtake I've ever seen.
No, that's
you just
a good
delivered
one.
The line fine and then laughed.
I'm sorry. It's fun.
I'm sorry.
The outtakes are just fun.
Just fun.